Say praise the Lord. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, isn't it? Now, I feel that I'm disconnected from you up here, so I'll probably wind up down there in just a few minutes. Is that okay? Amen. It is a wonderful, wonderful privilege for Jessica and me to be here this morning to worship with you. Pastor said a few minutes ago that he was feeling so good that I might not get up on the platform this morning. Well, that's okay with me. I'm not here to see or to be seen. I'm just here to worship the Lord. And that's what service is all about. I do appreciate so much Pastor allowing me the privilege to be able to come and to share this morning for just a little bit. I was thinking when he was talking about our name a few minutes ago that Thomas actually means beloved of God. How many know that? And so we're in good shape, aren't we, brother? Amen. And I'm actually Thomas Lindsay Powell Jr. My dad stuck me with that name because that was his name. His name is Thomas Lindsay Powell Sr. So he decided that he'd put Lindsay on to me. And so I'm Thomas Lindsay Powell Jr. And so our son come along, and I decided that I'd bless him with the same name. So his name is Thomas Lindsay Powell III. And we call him Trey, which is Spanish for three. It's spelled T-R-E-S, but we spelled it T-R-E-Y. They are hoping to be able to have a baby before too long. And I told my daughter-in-law not long ago, I said, now, if y'all have a little boy, you're going to name him Thomas Lindsay Powell IV and call him Quay, right? And she said, I don't think so. Amen. So they'll probably stop the trend. But it is so good to be able to come and to share. And Brother Tommy said just a few minutes ago that he was actually, I guess, the first one from the state that came up and introduced himself to us and welcomed us to this beautiful Show Me State. And this was the first date that I booked. Now, I did preach last night over in Sedalia. Did I say that right? Sedalia, is that the way you say it? Sedalia. I'm learning to pronounce some of the names around here, but I'll get it, so just kind of be patient with me just a little bit. But I preached there last night in the Gateway Rally, and tonight we'll be over at St. Joseph. Now, I looked over at my wife a few minutes ago whenever Brother Tommy said that this morning's kind of a prequel for tonight, and I said they may not want to go tonight after they hear me this morning. So just kind of hang with me if you will. I am delighted that my wife Jessica is able to be here with me this morning, and she and I have been together October the 2nd. Will be 35 years, and she's a preacher's daughter. She grew up in a parsonage, and whenever the Lord began to speak to her, she went to Lee College at that time. And while she was at Lee, the Lord spoke to her and told her that she would marry a minister. And so she's not a minister's wife because she's married to a minister, but she is a minister's wife because God called her to be a minister. She's a minister's wife. She feels like that is her divine calling. Now, I was 23 years old when we got married. She was 20. I'd been praying and asking the Lord at that time, can I visit with you for just a moment before I preach? I was a funeral director. I went immediately into the School of Mortuary Science whenever I graduated from high school and did my formal training to be a funeral director. And I can marry you and bury you. And I don't know, there's some morbid something about me all of my life. I always wanted to be a funeral director. And so that's the career that I pursued. And so I went into it, and the Lord was blessing me. And I was saved when I was 12. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost when I was 16. I was at home by myself on a Saturday night. No one else was there when the Lord baptized me in the Holy Ghost. And when he baptized me in the Holy Ghost, he gave me the fire to go along with it too. Saints used to testify that I'm glad I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And the Lord gave me the fire that night. I danced and shouted all over the house. There was no music playing. It was just me and the Lord. And the Lord baptized me in the Holy Ghost, called me to preach when I was 17 years old. And even though he called me to preach, I still wanted to be a funeral director. And so I went into the funeral business and was working there. And I was praying and asking the Lord to send me a young lady into my life. And so about 2 years after the fact, 1979, I was down preaching in a little church down in Pelham, Georgia, way down in the southern part of Georgia. And I looked up in the congregation that night. Now, that church was about as big, probably this about as wide as this middle section of chairs here, just a small church. And I was looked out, and I saw this beautiful girl sitting there in the congregation. And I asked somebody who she was. And they told me that her dad was Jesse Ogden. He was the district overseer, and she had come that night with the pastor's daughter. I get up in the pulpit, and I said, "It's good to have Jessica Ogden here tonight." I said, "Boy, she's pretty, isn't she?" You know, and embarrassed her, and I just bought me a brand-new 1979 Mercury Cougar XR7 the week before. And after church that night, she was standing out in the front yard, and she was talking to some friends, and I rode around the church. I wanted her to see me in that car, and I rode around the church and one time, and then I rode around the church second time and third time and fourth time. And she wouldn't ever look over there at me. And so I kept riding. I finally got dizzy riding around so much. And I went a couple of months later and preached for her dad on a Sunday morning, and thought maybe we'll hook up. But either she was dating somebody or I was dating somebody. We just couldn't get this thing together. Finally, her dad moved to my hometown to pastor, and I thought, well, this is good. We'll get together. Well, she was going to Lee College by that time. And I went into the MIP program. Her dad was my supervising pastor, and she was coming home at the end of the school year. And when she got home, would you believe that she was engaged to another guy? I'm telling you, she just would not cooperate with me. And the Lord spoke to me. Bishop Tommy Propes was in a revival for us at that time. He was an evangelist in South Georgia. And the Lord spoke to me one night, though, and said, "She's the one I've chosen for you." I said, "Well, there's a problem, Lord. She's engaged to somebody else." And but anyway, she finally broke up with the other guy. We started dating in June of 1982. I asked her to marry me in July of 81. So we started dating in June of 81. I asked her to marry me in July of 81, and we got married in October. That was a quick thing. I'm telling you, when you know God's in it, you might as well just go ahead and get with the program, don't you? Her mom didn't think it would work, but we've been together 35 years, and I love her, and I'm so glad that she's able to be with me. Jessica, stand up over there and let everybody see that beautiful blonde-headed girl over there. She's blonde-headed today. There's no telling what color it'll be next week. Amen. I've got natural highlights in mine. It's just the way it is. Amen. So thankful. Thank you so much for the privilege of being here. Let me just real quickly, before I get into word, say thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to the church. Thank you for being a part of this church. We're the part of the church of God. The church of God is not all that there is to it, but we're part of it. Amen. We're not all of it, but we're part of this great ship of Zion that is sailing toward heaven. And the Lord has given us a privilege. I've been in the church of God all of my life. I grew up in this church. My mom and dad was saved in the early 1950s in Savannah, Georgia, and brought me and my family, my siblings, up in the church. And there came a time when I had to make a decision to serve the Lord. And it was because of my mom and dad's decision that I'm in the church today. And I appreciate you for being a part of the church and for being faithful. Thank you for tithing. Thank you for giving. Every dime out of every dollar that you give goes to the state and international headquarters, and it helps us to plant churches, and it helps us to do the work of ministry. The Church of God is in 183 different countries of the world, and every weekend there's over 15 million people who attend the Church of God somewhere around the world. That's pretty good when it started with 9 people over in Tennessee a little over 100 years ago, isn't it? Never despise the day of small beginnings. 9 people started a church that is 15 million strong today. We are a Pentecostal church. I'm not ashamed of the Pentecostal experience. I'm not ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not ashamed if somebody decides to shout a little bit. I grew up in a church where they do the huckabuck. Honey, I grew up in a church where they shout. We have skirt poppers in that church. Sister Willie Maud Lee would get happy, and she'd come out of her seat popping her skirt, getting happy. I'm used to it. I love it. We have one man in my home church that would run the backs of the pews. I tried that one time, and that was only one time that I tried that. but he'd run the backs of the pews. I love it. I'm not ashamed of the experience. And I know some people say, well, you know what? Sometimes there's some wildfire that gets loose. Well, that's all right. You know, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. Amen. I know that sometimes there is excess that happens. I understand that. But I want to tell you that there can never be somebody say, well, you know, that's just a counterfeit. Well, you can't have a counterfeit without having something genuine. Amen. And I'm so thankful for the power of God. And I'm here just to worship the Lord. And so over the next 4 years, I hope that I'm here in Missouri. I look forward to a lot of fellowship and just sharing together with you. Turn with me real quickly in your Bibles to Psalm 100. I'll try to be as brief as I possibly can this morning. My wife tells me to use the five B's of speaking. That's be brief, brother, be brief. And I'll tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband, I won't keep you long. Amen. Stand with me for the reading of God's word, if you would, this morning. Amen. Psalm 100, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. It is a familiar passage of scripture, a very powerful verse of scripture. Psalm 100, it is the book of praise. How many love to praise him? How many understand this morning that there's power in your praise? Look at somebody and say, there's power in your praise. Hallelujah. If you want to put the devil on the run, start praising God. Amen. If you want to see God begin to move in your life, just begin to praise him. Begin to worship him. The psalmist David wrote the book of Psalms. Most of it is a song book. It is a song book of praise. I had somebody tell me, now I'll get to reading here in just a minute. Somebody told me one time, we used to sing choruses whenever we first started singing choruses in church. Some people say, well, I don't like those choruses because they're not spiritual. I said, not spiritual. They're straight out of the Bible. How much more spiritual can you be than to take the scripture and begin to sing it unto the Lord? And the psalmist David was a skillful musician. He was one that trained, and he was one that practiced, and he was a skillful musician and singer. And I can see him one day as he sits down and he begins to pen the words of this song, and he begins to play it, and he begins to sing it, and he begins to say this: make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. Somebody shout, we are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why are we going to bless his name? Because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I love Psalm 95 over there when David also begins to say, oh, verse 1, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. I'm so glad that word shout is in there, because that word shout there is for people like me who like it loud. They shout. If you don't like it loud, don't go to heaven, because there's going to be a whole lot of noise going on over in heaven. How many believe that? If you don't like it loud, you might as well just stay where you are. If you don't like it loud, just go ahead and pardon me, because I do. There's a shout. In fact, the Bible says that there's going to be a day when Jesus is going to come again, and when he comes, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the shout's going to be so loud that the dead's going to hear it, and they're going to come up out of the grave. Oh, hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, I wish somebody would just go ahead and give the Lord a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. So he said, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Why do we do that? For the Lord is a great God and the great King above all gods. And in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his. Also the sea is his, for he made it. How many understand this morning that everything that there is today, God made it? created. God designed it. God created it. You're here this morning because of God's design. We're here on this earth because of God's design. Somebody said, well, it happened because of the Big Bang Theory. Well, you've heard this. I'll say it again. I believe in the Big Bang Theory too. I believe that God spoke it, bang, it happened. Hallelujah. I believe that everything is here because of the spoke. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost right now in this house. Oh, hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands right now to Him, and let's just give the God of creation a worship and a praise and an honor that He is worthy of and that He deserves this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I bless you, the Lord, this morning. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. It is good to sing praises to the Lord. It is pleasant. It is praise. It's beautiful to the Lord. The Lord builds us up. We worship Him this morning. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Turn to somebody right now and say, I dare you just to praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated for just a few moments. I love to worship the Lord. I love to praise Him. I love to bless Him. I grew up, I said a few minutes ago, in a church that believed in the power of praise. We didn't have conferences back whenever I was growing up to teach us how to worship. We didn't have conferences to teach us how to praise the Lord, because there's just something about whenever you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whenever He touches your life and transforms you, there's something inside of you that just begins to bubble up and just makes you want to begin to worship Him and praise Him. My mom and dad, I said a few minutes ago, got saved in the early 1950s over in Savannah, Georgia. They were invited to a church service. Went over to the church service that night. My mom said she didn't know much about the Church of God at that time, except way back then that women didn't wear lipstick and makeup, and so she had on lipstick, and so she took it off to before she went in church that night. I'm glad that we've changed a little bit, aren't you? And she went into church that night, and when she went in, her and dad both got under conviction. How many of you, you know, we don't hear that word a whole lot anymore, get under conviction. They got under conviction, went to the altar, and prayed through. That's another term you don't hear a whole lot more anymore either, pray through. They prayed through to salvation that night, and after they finished praying through to salvation, some of the saints asked Mom and Dad. Dad's told me this story so many times. He said, after we prayed a little bit, said, do you believe you got saved? And Daddy said, yeah, I think I did. I feel good inside. They said, do you want to be sanctified? He said, well, I don't know what being sanctified is. They said, well, let's pray. So they started praying. He said, all of a sudden, I just felt clean all over. He said, after I felt clean all over, they asked me then, do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, well, if it feels as good as salvation and sanctification, I guess I do. He said, I don't know anything about it. And they kept praying with Mom and Dad, and just a little bit, the Lord gloriously filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave to them the utterance. And that began their journey. That began their journey of serving the Lord. My mom and dad were just simple people. Daddy worked with the government and civil service, and my mother worked in a thread mill. They made red heart yarn. If you've ever done any crocheting, she worked at Coats and Clark. Just very common people, down to earth people. They were a part of the Church of God. I heard just a few minutes ago, Brother Sandifer, whenever you were showing the pictures of the devastation down in Louisiana, and you made the statement that they're here, they're somewhere this morning worshiping without a building. You know what? It doesn't take a building to worship God. I heard my dad say one time, my home church was started in a tent. My home church was started in a tent, and I've seen the pictures that somebody didn't want a Pentecostal church around, and so they went in and turned the piano upside down, took a hammer and beat the piano and broke it up, took the song books and ripped the pages out, and somebody took pictures of that. I saw the pictures. I saw the pews turned upside down. But you know what happened? All of those saints there in my home church went the next service. They went in and stood among the tore up song books, and they stood among the broken pews, and without a piano, they began to sing from their heart, and they lifted their hands, and they began to worship God, because they understood that the worship and the praise that we bring to the Lord is not based upon a building that we sit in, tear the song books up, just break the piano loose. I still have a song in my heart. I still have a song of praise because he's brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light of his love, because I'm redeemed by the grace of Jesus Christ. I've been saved by his grace. I've been filled with his spirit. He's touched me, and nobody has to teach me how to praise him. Nobody has to teach me how to worship him. When I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think of where he's brought me from and what he's done in my life, all of a sudden there's something begins to bubble up inside of me. It is a song of praise. It is a song of worship. It is a song of adoration. I'm telling you that God is looking this morning for somebody that will worship him. He's looking for somebody that will praise him. God's looking for a daughter and a son somewhere that will lift up their hands in worship and lift up their hearts, because there is power in our praise. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. You see, this morning we have to understand that God has blessed us. God has done so much for us. And so there's three reasons why that I choose to praise him. I praise him, number one, because God deserves my praise. Hallelujah. I praise him because God deserves my praise. He's done for me what no one else could do. Amen. The psalmist David said, I'm going to praise him because the Lord is good. Hallelujah. I serve a good God. We were singing that song this morning. He's a good, good father. I want to tell you that we have a good father this morning. He loves his children. He cares for us. We serve him. We worship him because he deserves my praise. There was a time in my life when I didn't know him. There was a time in my life when I was lost. There was a time in my life when it was full of sin. There was a time in my life when my heart was dark and blackened. There was a time in my life when I had no hope for the future before me. I remember a time when I was just a junior boy. Now, junior boys ought to be happy. Junior boys ought to just be full of life. But I remember as a junior boy that I had no peace. I remember as a junior boy that I did not look forward to the future. I was afraid. My life was full of fear. I would lay down in the bed at night and pray and beg God not to let me die. Before I woke up the next morning, there was no peace whatsoever. But I want to tell you, at the age of 12 years old, I went to a Church of God youth camp in Georgia. And in that Church of God youth camp, a man by the name of Steve Brock was preaching that week. And the Lord touched my heart. And I went down to an altar, and the Lord gloriously saved me. And all of a sudden, that heart that was full of fear, and that heart that was dark, and that heart that was lonely, and that young boy who had no hope for the future, all of a sudden things begin to change in my life. All of a sudden God began to turn things around, and he did for me what no one else could do for me. He loved me when no one else loved me. He cared for me when no one else cared for me. He lifted me up when no one else could lift me up. I'm telling you, you just might as well hold on here just a minute, because when I think about what God has done for me in my life, it makes me want to praise him. If you don't like my praise, if you don't like my worship, that's okay. I know where I've come from, and I know what he's done for me in my life. Oh, somebody, would you just give him a shout of praise this morning? Hallelujah. So he deserves my praise. How many know that he deserves your praise this morning? How many have a testimony this morning? How many remember where the Lord's brought you from? You know what? Sometimes if we're not very careful, I hope this is okay for me to say this. If we're not very careful, we can get so caught up in being in church. We can serve him for so long that we forget where he brought us from. Amen. We can forget that we once was lost and he found us. I heard Dr. Paul Walker tell the story years ago when he first went to Atlanta, Georgia, and he took the Hemp Hill Avenue Church of God. Hemp Hill Avenue at that time was a church very prominent in Atlanta. And Dr. Walker went there to pastor. It was during the hippie movement of the 60s. Dr. Walker decided that he was going to go out and minister to the hippies there on Peachtree Street. And so he went out and he started hanging out among those long-haired guys. He started hanging out. They were smoking pot. They were saying peace, this, and all of that. And they were just laid out all over the streets, all over the sidewalks. And Dr. Walker went out there and started hanging out with them, started telling them that Jesus could give them real peace. They weren't going to find the peace in the bottle or the peace in the pot. They weren't going to find the peace in the world, but he could point them to somebody that would give them real peace. And so he started bringing them to church. And those hippies started coming in and getting saved in that prominent Church of God over there in Atlanta, Georgia. One of the men in the church went to Dr. Walker and said, Pastor, said, I appreciate your zeal that you have. I appreciate the desire that you have to minister to these people. But, you know, our church is a prominent church, and it has business people in, and we're recognized in the city of Atlanta. And said, you know what? These people are kind of ruining the reputation of our church. Dr. Walker looked at him, and he said, you know, he said, I remember when my dad used to come and preach at this church years ago over in the old church. Said, I was just a young boy at that time. And said, you weren't even saved at the time. Your wife was. She was serving the Lord, and you would bring her to church. In fact, you would let her out at the front door, and then you would pull your car around to the back of the church, and you didn't think that anybody saw you. But I saw you when you turned that bottle up, sitting out there behind the church. I saw you when you were sitting out there drinking. In fact, I saw you where you hid your bottle. And he started telling the man all about that. And you know what? This gentleman was standing there, and he had tears begin to stream down his cheeks. He looked at Dr. Walker, and he said, Pastor, he said, thank you for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me of what God has done for me. Thank you for reminding me of where God's brought me from. He said, I had forgotten about that. I forgot about what I was before the Lord reached down and picked me up. There's an old song we used to sing in the church years ago that says something like this. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his son when he reached way down for me. And this man said, I forgot how far that the Lord reached down for me. And that man got in with Dr. Walker, and he got out there and started winning those hippies to the Lord and bringing them to the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what those hippies are doing today? Those hippies are prominent businessmen. Those men are serving on the council and the elder board of that church. Why? Because somebody remembered what the Lord had done for them, and they went out and said to those, what he did for me, he can do for you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this all right this morning? This is simple preaching, okay? You see, God deserves our praise. Hallelujah. There was something that needed to be done in my life that no one else could do. And when no one else could do it, no one else could save me. No one else could forgive me. No one else could redeem me. But I'm telling you this morning, my name is in the book of life. My name is in the book of life today. My sins are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's filled me with his spirit. And so God deserves my praise. So just pardon me while I worship him. Just pardon me while I bless him. Just pardon me while I praise him. Oh, he deserves my praise. Hallelujah. And he deserves your praise. Not only does he deserve my praise, he desires my praise. Amen. He desires my praise. How many of you have children here this morning? How many love for your children to come get up in your lap and love on you a little bit? Amen. Except when they grown. Amen. How many love for your son or your daughter every once in a while just come get up in your lap and put their arms around you? We have a little grandbaby. He's 17 months old. He's the only grandchild that we have. And every day we FaceTime with him, sometimes two or three times a day. I told my daughter, I said, when y'all come to my house now, we have a sign on the door that says no spanking zone. She said, will you spank me? I said, you needed it. He doesn't. He's all right. He's perfect. Amen. And every day we face it. I get silly whenever I'm on FaceTime with him. My wife does too. Boy, we get silly with him. And I'll say, I love you, Sawyer. And he'll get over there and he'll grab the phone and he'll pull the phone up. And I can't see anything. It's all cloudy. And my daughter will say, "He's kissing you, Dad." And boy, even though he's over there in Jackson, Georgia, and I'm in Farmington, or we were out in Colorado, I'm telling you, it just melt my heart. And when they came up, we were 17 hours from them out in Colorado. Now we're only 3 hours from them. And they came up last weekend and stayed with us. And that little boy, he got up in my lap and he put his arms around me and he squeezed me and hugged me. Don't you know, I'll give him anything. My Lord, have mercy. I'll give him anything. Yes, sir, we. But you know, it's the same way with my children. My son is 33 years old. Our son is 33 years old. He's a youth pastor. He's a youth pastor in a church in Atlanta, Georgia. Has about 150, 175 kids on Wednesday night there. And the Lord's just blessing him. And he'll call me up every once in a while on the phone. And I'll say, "Hey, son." He'll say, "Hey, Dad." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Nothing much. I just want to call and tell you I love you." You know what? That just makes the dad's heart feel good, doesn't it? And if he doesn't call me for a while, I'll call him and say, "I just want to introduce myself to you." He gets busy, you know, and all. And I'll say, "I just want to introduce myself to you. I'm a man by the name of Tommy Powell. I think I'm your dad. And I just want to hear from you a little bit. Every once in a while, I just want to get to hear them from my children. I want to get to hear them from. I want to hear them say, 'I love you.' Whenever I get to see him, I put my arms around him. I put my arms around my daughter. I love him." Why are you saying all of that? I'm just telling you that we have a Father who loves us, and we have a Father who desires us. He desires us to be in His presence. He wants us to come talk to Him. He wants us to spend time with Him. He wants us to tell Him that we love Him. He wants us to draw up into His presence. My God, you may not feel anything this morning, but I just feel the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because when you start praising Him, He'll show up. When you start praising Him, the Bible says that God dwells in the praises of His people. That word dwells means that He lives among us. He walks among us. God desires our praise. He will be with us. When you start praising Him, God will show up in your life. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something else. When you're going through difficult times in your life, when you're going through tough situations in your life, when you're seeking for answers in your life, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to turn, when it seems like that all hell is breaking loose in your life and that the powers of darkness are coming against you, you know what the best thing for you to do in those times? Start praising God. Start praising Him. Oh, that's silly, Pastor. Oh, it may be silly. It silly works. Amen. I can give you scripture after scripture. One of them's over in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Over there, Jehoshaphat, who's the king of Judah, receives word one day that they're going to have an attack. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the children of Mount Seir has sent word that they're going to be coming against this little country of Judah. They don't have the personnel. They don't have the military power to stand up against these three nations. And Jehoshaphat understands that the battle has already been won by the enemy. There's nothing that he can do. There's no equipment enough that he has to go against these three nations. And so he just does what we need to do when we're faced with those times. Because you know what the reality is? Every one of us this morning, we face times in our life when the enemy comes against us. We face times in our life when there are obstacles and situations that are greater than we can handle. They are bigger than what we can control. And in those times, we just trust the Lord. And we just called it. Jehoshaphat called a prayer meeting. He got all the people together and they started praying. And when they started praying, all of a sudden God began to speak. How many believe that God still speaks? You believe God still speaks? He'll speak if we listen. And God begins to speak, and there's a man by the name of Jehaziel that is among them, and all of a sudden Jehaziel stands up in the midst of the congregation and says, "Listen to the word of the Lord that I have for you today." And the word of the Lord says, "Do not be afraid by reason of the great multitude that shall come against you." Oh, glory to God. Can I say that one more time? Be not afraid by reason of the great multitude that is coming against you, for the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. Hallelujah. He says you don't have to be afraid. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how big they are. It doesn't matter how bad they are. That you don't have to be afraid of them, because this battle does not belong to you. It is the Lord's. And the Lord said, this is what you're going to do. Now, you know what? The Lord specializes in just kind of giving us some silly instructions sometimes, doesn't he? And the Lord says to them, tomorrow when you go out to battle, this is what you're going to do. Get you some singers together. Get you a choir together. And I want you to get you some musicians together. Listen, there's power in our music. Did you know that? There's power in music. There's power in that worship. In fact, remind me where I am in the story right here, okay? Did you know that when God created angels, that he created three division of angels? He created three division of angels. He created the messengers. The messengers are led by Gabriel, the archangel. They are the ones that delivers messages of hope and strength, messages that come from God. It is the angel Gabriel that delivered the message of Jesus coming into this earth. It was this angel, and so they are the messengers. But then also they're the warriors. They're led by Michael, the chief archangel. They're the ones that fight on our behalf. They're the ones that the scripture means the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that love him and deliver them. This is the angels over there in 2 Kings whenever Elisha the prophet, there was a great host that was coming against them, the Syrian army, and they woke up and Gehazi walked out and he saw all of the host of the Syrian army around them, encamped around them, and he came back and he said to Elisha, there's the Syrian army that is camped about us. And Gehazi said, well, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid. God's got it. God's got it under control. Gehazi probably thought that he had lost his mind until Elisha started praying and said, God, open his eyes and let him see. All of a sudden, his spiritual eyes were opened and he no longer saw the Syrian army. Oh, hallelujah. He no longer saw the Syrian army, but he looked beyond the army and he saw the angels of the Lord that were encamped round about those that they did not have to be afraid. I come by to tell somebody this morning that there are warriors that are sent on our behalf. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who love him and delivers them. But then there are also the worshipers. That's the third division, the worshipers. They were led by Lucifer. He was created as a worshiper. Are y'all with me? It's five. I got to be through here in 3 minutes, don't I? Worshippers. They're led by Lucifer. He's created as a worshiper. He leads the division of worshipers. Amen. Until he got arrogant and conceited and thought that he was as good as God and he wanted to be God. And he didn't want to be good. He wanted to be God. And so he in his arrogance rose up and wanted to take on God and got cast out of heaven. A third of the angels were cast out of heaven with him. Those were the worshipers that got cast out of heaven at that time. And one of the reasons I say that we have worship wars going on today in the church, in the music program, I don't know hardly a church that if there's any area in the church that sometime they're going to struggle and the enemy's going to fight against. It is the area of music. Why? Because the enemy hates music. He hates singing. He hates that worship because he was created as a worshiper and he failed in that and got cast out of heaven. Jensen Franklin said, I'm going to write a book one day. It's going to be entitled When the Enemy Was Cast Out of Heaven. He fell in my choir loft. Amen. The enemy hates our worship. He hates music. He hates singing. He hates it because that is what he was designed. And God could have created other worshipers, angels, to worship him. But instead, he created you and he created me. Hallelujah. Oh, he could have replaced them up in heaven, but he decided to make us. And so that's why we are created to worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so over there, God says, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go out to battle the next day. I want you to get some musicians and singers together. And I want you to go out there and I want you to start singing. And he wrote a real quick song for them to sing. It only had one stanza to it. I hear people talk about us singing one song over and over and over again. I said, well, that's all right. They did it over in the Bible. They did it in the Bible. We can do it. They started singing one song, one stanza. And this is what it said. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Well, isn't there something else we can say? Yeah, there is. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I can see them as they got out on the battlefield. And they started singing. This group over here starts saying, praise ye the Lord. This group over here starts saying, for the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord, for the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And they got to singing it. They got to, they walked out on the battlefield. I'm sure that the Ammonites, the Moabites, the children of Mount Seir, they're all armored up. They're all ready. They have their weapons raised and they're ready to go out and fight. But they hear the sound of music. They hear the sound of praise. They hear the sound of worship, and here they are, and the host of Judah, that little band is walking out there and they're just singing. I just kind of like to imagine it like this a little bit. I think they got happy. They started doing the huckabuck a little bit. I think they started shouting and dancing a little bit. I think they started worshiping, hallelujah, and they started dancing and they started twirling. That's what David did. The Bible says that King David danced before the Lord with all of his might. He was leaping and twirling. He was going round and round as he was bringing his worship. And I think that's what was happening that day. They were dancing. If I wasn't so big and fat, I'd dance a little bit right now. But it wouldn't be a pretty sight. And they started dancing. And when they started dancing and worshiping the Lord, the Bible says, your Bible, check it out, 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, says that God set ambushments against them, against the enemy, and they turned on each other and they slew each other. And when the dust of the battle has settled, not one of the enemy was left standing. They were slain, and the people of God never raised their hand against them. The only thing that the people did is they worshiped and they praised and they blessed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Is this all right this morning? Hallelujah. Somebody said, you don't have to get loud and holler like you do. I said, well, no. It feels good. Amen. Listen, I'm not a big sports fan, but I'm a little bit of a sports fan. The Denver Broncos last year when they won the Super Bowl, listen, there was a bunch of us together, and when they won the Super Bowl, I'm telling you, we didn't sit and look at each other and say, ooh, they won. No. We jumped up. We were cheering. We were loud in that house. We walked outside. We were hollering at the neighbors. We were yelling at the high-fiving the neighbors. There was fireworks displays going off all over the city. Everyone was just happy and cheering because the Denver Broncos had won the Super Bowl. Amen. And do you think whenever the St. Louis Cardinals or the Kansas City Royals, when the Kansas City Royals won the World Series, do you think they were all just sitting in the stands and said, oh, that's so good. We're so glad they finally made it. Amen. I'm telling you, that place went crazy. I was watching it on TV. They went crazy. People were cheering. They were excited because their team had won. Let me tell you something. I think it's an affront to me because people will go to a ball game, and there's nothing wrong with it. I go to them. But they'll go to a ball game, and they'll shout like Cherokee Indians and come to church and act like wooden Indians. Amen. Is that all right? Hallelujah. I want to tell you something this morning. I serve a God that desires my praise. I serve a God who is worthy of my worship. He's done much more for me than a baseball or a football. Hallelujah. Oh, that's all right and that's good. But I've come to tell you this morning, it's time that we stand up. It's time that we, as children of God, stand up and quit being ashamed. People say, when I go to church, I ought to be reverent. Well, there's nothing that is more reverent than for me to come in the house of the Lord and to make a joyful shout unto the Lord. I dare somebody this morning just to give the Lord a shout of praise right now in this house. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to praise Him because I'm safe. Hallelujah. I'm safe thus far. He's brought me over the troubled roads of yesterday. He's kept His hand upon me. I'm standing here this morning because of the grace of God. I haven't made it this far because of my own strength. I've made it this far because the hand of the Lord has brought me to this place. And if the hand of the Lord has brought me to the place that I am this morning, the hand of the Lord is going to take me on in this journey. Hallelujah. I got a lot more to say, but I'll just kind of cut it off, okay? I'll just come back and finish it up. Can I do that? I worship Him because He deserves it. I worship Him because He desires it. But I worship Him because I am designed to worship. Hallelujah. That is the purpose of my life. It is the purpose of my existence. He designed me for fellowship with Him. Do you know my worship is more than just what I say? My worship is more than just my actions. My worship is the way that I live. Hallelujah. And God created man. You know, go back, look in the scripture. Created man and would come down and walk with him in the cool of the evening. Fellowship with man. Because God desired to be among them and with them. And that's what God desires for us. And when man disobeyed God and was separated, God was so hungry for the fellowship of those that He created that He sent His Son, Jesus, to come and to die so that I could be brought back in relation. I'm separated from God. God is here and I'm here. There's this chasm that has separated us now because of sin and disobedience. God looked throughout heaven trying to find someone. And throughout the Old Testament, we wonder sometime why God couldn't have used some of those great men of faith in the Old Testament. And as great as all of those men were, they were human and they would mess up at times and they would mess up the plan of God. And there was no one that God could depend upon. And so one day the Son steps up to the Father and He says, Father, give me a body and I'll go. Just give me a body, Father. I'll go. Preparations are starting being made in heaven for the Son to come down to earth. Word gets around heaven that the Son is leaving. The Bible says that He's the light of heaven. He's adored by angels. And word gets around that the Son is leaving. And whenever the word gets around, the angelic choir decides that they're not going to sing anymore. They pack up the instruments. They hang up the robes. They're not going to sing anymore because the Son is leaving. They love the Son. I can see the Son as He leaves heaven. I can see Him as He begins to step over galaxies and Milky Ways. I can see Him as He begins to use the stars as stepping stones as He's making His way down to earth. He looks over and He waves at the sun and winks at the moon. And He's making His way. And then all of a sudden He winds up in a little town called Bethlehem. And He's born in a Bethlehem stable there. And word gets back to heaven that a man child has been born over there in Bethlehem. Word gets back back to heaven, and when the word gets back to heaven and it begins to spread, all the angelic choirs, the director of the choir says, get your instruments out. Get your instruments out. Get your robes out. We're going to sing. We got a new song to sing. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill to all men. Hallelujah. The Son comes down to this earth and He's born. We see Him for 12 years. Well, we don't hear anything from Him for 12 years. Now, I'm trying to wrap this up, okay? If y'all just be quiet, when y'all say amen, it's like saying sick him to a bulldog. You know that, don't you? Amen. So if I preach a long time, it's your fault. Amen. Amen. I'm teasing. But really, somebody come to the music. Just come play. Will that make you feel better if I'm preaching the music? We don't hear anything from Him for 12 years. And all of a sudden, He shows up in the temple one day, and He's astonishing the scholars and the intellectuals there in the temple. And mom and dad leaves Him. Don't even realize He's left behind. And He's over here in the temple, and they're so astonished by His wisdom. One of them asks Him, "Son, how old are you? How old are you, boy?" I can see him as he looks at him and says, "Well, on my mama's side, I'm 12 years old. On my daddy's side, I'm from everlasting to everlasting." Hallelujah. On my mama's side, I'm 12 years old, but on my daddy's side, I've never had a beginning and I'll never have an end. On my mama's side, I'm 12 years old, but on my daddy's side, I'm Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. On my mama's side, I get a little hungry, but on my daddy's side, I am the bread of life. On my mama's side, I get a little thirsty, but on my daddy's side, if you'll come and drink of me, if you'll drink this water out of your belly, shall flow rivers of living water. You'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we find him at the age of 33 years old as they arrest him in the garden. And then they take him and they try him. And they scourge him. And they beat him. And they put a scarlet robe on his back and a crown of thorns on his head. And then they carry him up. He's got to carry his own cross as he goes to the Via Dolorosa to a place called Calvary. I see him there as they lay him down upon the ground and they stretch his hands out and they're about to nail him to the cross. And I can just hear Jesus say to them, "If you know what's good for you, you'll leave me down here on this ground. If you know what's good for me, you won't pick me up. If you know what's good for you, you won't nail me to this cross. If you know what's good for me, you won't ever stand this cross up, because I just want to tell you, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw men unto me." Hallelujah. You're not going to stop the plan. You're not going to stop the plan. I'm telling you, they hung him there, and he stands hung between the heaven and earth. And as he stands there hung between heaven and earth, he becomes the living plus sign that brings me back into relationship with the Heavenly Father. And I stand here this morning in the Souls Harbor Church of God in Chillicothe, Missouri, just to remind you that God deserves our praise. He desires our praise. We have been designed to praise Him because He has redeemed us by the grace of Jesus Christ. Stand with me all over the house right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I bet I won't ever get to come back here in the next 4 years that I'm here, will I? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. You may be searching. There may be things going on. There may be issues that you are facing in your life. The enemy may have come in like a flood against you. There may be struggles going on your job. There may be struggles going on in your home, your family. There may be financial situations that you're facing. There may be answers that you're looking for this morning, and you don't know what to do or where to turn. I'm just wanting to tell you this morning, I come by to challenge you just to give it to Him. Give it to Him. The host of Judah had those situations, but they gave it to God. And when they gave it to God, they didn't keep it. They just started praising Him. And God knew what was their need. Listen, there's a verse of scripture that reminds us that God knows what we have need of before we ever ask. Hallelujah. And all we have to do is focus on Him. So I want to do this morning in the closing of this service. I want every one of you that can to step out of your seat, and I want you to come to the front of the church. I just want you, everyone, if you can, I want you to come. If you can't, just sit down on the altar or grab you a chair or something. And I just want you to come up here for just a moment. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is a good day for us to introduce you to the man who loves you, to a man who will redeem you and save you. Hallelujah. 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 Do you feel His presence this morning? Do you feel His presence right now? Do you feel Him today? I want to ask you one question. How many of you standing here this morning say, Pastor, I just have some needs this morning. I just have some needs that I just need to give to the Lord. I'm facing some situations. I'm facing some circumstances. I have a physical need. I have a financial need. I have a home issue. I can't handle it. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand, but just raise your hand right now. Just say, I'm there this morning. Just raise your hand. Keep your hand raised for just a moment. Anybody else, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can put your hand back down. You know what you just did? When you raise your hand, you say, God, I recognize that I have this need. And Lord, I'm giving it to You. I've carried this long enough. I've dealt with it long enough. I'm giving it to You now. And so now I want you to do this. I want you to raise both of your hands. I want you to raise both of your hands. Did you know that the raised hand is a sign of surrender? It is a sign of surrender. And whenever you raise your hands, you're saying, I'm surrendering it to You, Lord, as a sign of surrender. But the raised hand is also a sign of a salute. It is saying, I salute You, I recognize You, I honor You. And so this is what I want you to do. I want you to raise both of your hands as a sign of surrender. And then I want you to raise your hands as a salute, as an act of honor to God. And I want you to open your mouth, and with your voices, I want you to begin to praise Him. I want you to begin to worship Him. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It doesn't matter if you say the same thing over and over and over again. Just start praising Him right now. Hallelujah. God, I've given this to You. Lord, I'm giving it to You this morning. Lord, I'm asking You to take care of it. I'm just praising You now, Lord. I don't see the victory, but I'm praising You anyway. The victory has not yet come, but I'm celebrating anyway, Lord. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to bless You. I'm going to honor You. I'm going to glorify You, because You're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my worship. You're worthy of all the glory that I can give to You this morning. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, touch Pastor this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch Michael this morning in the name of Jesus. God, touch my pastor's wife today in the name of Jesus. I bless You, Lord. I bless You, Lord. I bless You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Celebrate Him right now. Celebrate Him right now. Celebrate Him right now. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to do something with me real quickly if you can this morning. If you have a handkerchief, if you don't, there's some Kleenexes. Grab you a Kleenex. Would you do that real quickly? Hallelujah. Just grab you a Kleenex real quickly. When I was growing up in the church, we used to have what we call praise offerings. Do any of you ever remember those? Some of you are probably not old enough. We'd have praise offerings. We'd get our handkerchiefs out or Kleenex or whatever we had, and we just wave them. You know what? It occurred to me one day. it occurred to me that when I raise my hand to the Lord, that I am invading the territory of the enemy, because he is the prince of the world. He is the prince of the air that is around me. So when I raise my hand, I'm invading his territory. And then whenever I start waving my hands before the Lord, I'm slapping about 1,000 demons right in the face. Amen. And I am opening up a pathway of praise between me and God. Hallelujah. And when I start praising the Lord, the enemy has to flee. He can't stay around when I start. He can't stand praise. How many of you know that? He can't stand worship. And so for the next few seconds, I want you to go into battle right now. And I want you to invade his territory. And I want you to begin to slap those demons right in the face. And I want you to open up a pathway of praise between you and the Heavenly Father. Father, I worship you right now, Lord. I worship you in this house this morning. I thank you for your redeeming grace. I thank you, Lord, for your wonderful mercy. I thank you, oh God, that you've redeemed me from my sins. I thank you, Lord, that you've filled me with your Spirit. God, I thank you that you're working on my behalf this morning. God, I thank you that you're going before me and making the crooked places straight. I thank you this morning, oh Lord, that you made me the head and not the tail. I thank you, God, this morning that you're raising me up. I thank you this morning that you're healing my body. I thank you this morning, oh Lord, that you're renewing my spirit. I thank you this morning that you're speaking to me the answers that I need. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. You're a good, good God. You're a good Father. I worship you and I bless you. I honor you this morning in this house, oh Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now, the last thing I want us to do before Pastor comes back up, I want us to give the Lord a hand clap and a shout. Now, this is what the Bible says. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of victory or triumph. Hallelujah. And so I want you just for a few seconds just to clap your hands and lift your voices. And I want you to give him a loud shout of praise. Can you do that right now? Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord this morning? Oh, I love him. Don't you love your pastor too? Amen. If we love the Lord, we love our pastor. Amen. And I thank God for Brother Tommy. Thank God for his family this morning. Thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me to be here with you guys this morning, and for allowing me just to share my heart and just be me. I'm just me, so I is what I is, you know. So God bless you, Pastor. Just
thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord.